Okay, so welcome once again to the podcast. This is Joshua Matipo, your Filipino contributor from the Republic of the Philippines, and we are now on the final stages of the presidential race. Okay, it's been a few weeks since I last recorded my last article regarding the situation here in the Philippines. From those weeks, I became too busy from my new work as a medical social worker in a private hospital near my house at Fairview. And since then, I was keep on monitoring on the events that is happening here in the Philippines. Okay, so we have a lot of topics that we need to discuss, from the COMELEC link, which can affect the millions of Filipino voters here and abroad, and it may cause some destabilization, and I'll explain later why. Then we have the analysis for the third and final presidential debate, which was held at the University of Pangasinan in Dagupan City, the province of Pangasinan here in Luzon. And then we need to discuss also the latest news, which is the beheading of the Canadian tourist by the Abu Sayyaf, a terrorist group that has connections with Al Qaeda and now ISIS. And last but not the least, the rape joke committed by Mayor Rodrigo Duterte. So stay tuned, folks, for this for our article in the podcast. Okay, so let's continue. So let's begin with the biggest news of the day. It's the the COMELEC leak. So a week ago, the National Bureau of Investigation, the Philippine counterpart for FBI, had arrested a hacker, a IT graduate, who is also a member of the group Anonymous. You know, in the Anonymous, who likes to hack government sites around the world and has a advocacy to fight for the liberties of the people of the Philippines and also different parts of the world, especially in the United States. But here, the local branch of Anonymous had breached the security protocol of the website of COMELEC. Okay, so he was arrested, and now he was detained in NBI in Taft, Manila. Okay, so after that alleged hacking, which was happened last week, there were trends in social media, as well in the news, that the files of voters, the voters' data, has been compromised by, we don't know yet who did it, but initially they thought that it's Anonymous, but it's very different. There's many conspiracy theories that is coming out from this leak, and I see that it's very dangerous. why did I I post an article about this, and Gon also had posted this article. So Gon had messaged me regarding that. Josh, what is happening? Even his wife, a Filipina, Sophie, her personal information was compromised as well as mine. But it's very disturbing for me because those data can be used for identity theft and also for vote for online vote manipulation on the day of the election itself. So it's almost less than two weeks before the day of the election on May 9, and it's very dangerous that some politician may use the voters' data to manipulate votes. And when it happens, there were some groups who already threatened the government to launch a revolt against the establishment if cheating occurs during the election day and the counting process. So I think it's a calm before the storm. So using those voters' data, politicians may identify who's their respective voters in their particular area, especially in the local government units. And also, they can use it to steal your identity and make it look like you voted for that politician or that politician. So it's very dangerous this time for Philippine democracy. So I advise our Filipino listeners and viewers of the podcast to be vigilant. Also, there were numerous posts of alleged cheating particularly in the Middle East and in Hong Kong. So supposedly, as according to the law, when you use the PICUS machine the PICUS machine, which after you fill out your ballot, you put your ballot to the PICUS machine, as much as possible, there should be a receipt so that you yourself should check or verify the candidates you voted for. But unfortunately, there were people they feel that they're disfranchised. Okay, so a lot of OFWs or a lot of overseas Filipino workers were allegedly disfranchised because of these allegations. Okay, so the voting for our overseas Filipino workers all over the world had started on April 9. So from April 9 to May 9, it's almost a month, giving our overseas Filipino workers or our OFWs to vote to their respective consulates or to their respective embassies where they in their respective countries that they are concurrently working or staying, okay, as long as they can vote. So we would like to invite our overseas Filipino listeners in the podcast, if you are registered to vote here in the Philippines, now is the time to go out and vote for your favorite candidate, and go to your nearest Philippine embassy or Philippine consulate in any country that you are residing. So please, please vote for the vote for us to choose the right leaders, and that will lead the Philippines for the next 6 years. So we would like to encourage all of you outside the Philippines to vote, to go out. And if there were some allegations of fraud and cheating, you can report us here at the podcast. Okay, so later on I will give my cell phone number so that you can contact me here in the Philippines, so that we can post it at the podcast and in the social media if there were allegations of fraud and allegations of aside from fraud or allegations of cheating in your respective countries that you're staying in. So stay tuned. Okay, so we would like, okay, so this Comelec leak is continue to haunt the Commission of Elections as the elections here in the Philippines draws near. So we would like to make a call to the Comelec to please for a clean and honest elections, please fix this problem immediately. So why? Because many people will their personal data, which were entrusted to you by the people, you should secure it. That's the right to privacy. So that's the basic right. So I would like to encourage Comelec to look upon this, and as you look upon this problem regarding these leaks, just remember, people are watching your performance this election. Okay so our next topic is about our third and final presidential debate, which was held on Pangasinan. Okay, so before I jump to the debates, I would like to tell you a story that I would like to encourage also the people here in the Philippines, our listeners here in the Philippines, to check your names and also your present number to your nearest Comelec office. So last week I was able to check mine and see if my name is there at the Commission on Elections office in Quezon City, where I am registered. Okay, so please check it. And also your present number, so that you know where will you vote. For me, I am a voter of District 5, Quezon City, District 5. So, and I will be voting at Fairview Elementary School, just within Commonwealth. So, at least I know where I am going. So, I would like to remind our listeners and viewers to check on your data, check on your voters' data personally at the Comelec office, okay, on your nearest Comelec office. Okay, so this article is brought to you by 7-Eleven. Some commercial. Okay, so it's nice to have even though it's the election here in the Philippines, very nasty, it's very tiring. Every day you will hear campaigning people here, and hearing campaign jingles from another way around. So it's basically circles here in the Philippines, okay? Okay, so let's go on to the debate. So, okay, so before the debates, Rodrigo Duterte made a joke, a rape joke about the Australian missionary, Miss Jacqueline Hamilton, but we will discuss that later on. Even though the controversy about the rape joke was hunting Duterte, he was able to pull out to pull away from Senator Grace Poe. He was able to pull away from Senator Grace Poe on the latest Pulse Asia survey, on the latest social weather station survey. And as I check social media, I check Twitter, I check Facebook, I always see that the Duterte supporters were very active. Okay, they're very active in campaigning their candidate. Okay, so it was when I was not able to watch the last debate last Sunday at Pangasinan Live, but I was able to watch it on YouTube, and I observed during the debates that the four candidates were not able to engage Rodrigo Duterte on a slugfest. Okay, so they were trying to, although the most bold was the question of Grace Poe pinning down Duterte on the rape joke. But unfortunately, Duterte was able to fight back to explain what happened. And later on, you will hear his explanation regarding that rape joke and the history behind the rape joke. Okay, so they were not able to put up a fight against the front runner himself, even the second runner-up, Grace Poe, and even the admin, former Secretary Mar Rojas. Okay, so aside from Poe, one of its heated discussions was healthcare. Okay, so here in the Philippines, you know, I may tell you, you're quite fortunate in the United States and also in the European countries, because you were able to have a affordable healthcare and also a complete facilities of hospitals. Here in the Philippines, we have a 7,107 islands here in the Philippines, and also one of its difficulty on delivering even the basic health services on the barangays, which were on the provinces. So let me share you my experience as a community organizer when I was still working under the government, under the Department of Social Welfare and Development. Okay, so I checked the facilities, I checked the health centers. They were lacking equipments, they were lacking medicines, and even the basic medicines. So when a person got sick, so he had to travel a long way going down to the town proper in order to meet the medical needs of that person. So it's very pitiful, it's very kawawa naman. So it's very pitiful. It's making me sad when I remember that. So it's a challenge for the Filipino to have an access even to the basic health necessities. Okay. because of the geographical situation. At the same time, the allegation of corruption is still very rampant. Okay, so excuse me, I had to drink. So so this is the big issues here in the Philippines, healthcare. So in response to the problem at healthcare, the Philippines was able to launch PhilHealth. Okay, so the program of PhilHealth is like Medicare and Medicaid in the United States. So it's our local counterpart of Medicare and Medicaid in the United States, and we have healthcare, and we had PhilHealth. So supposedly the idea is the Filipinos all Filipinos should have access to an affordable healthcare. If you have PhilHealth, you may able to avail discounts on medical procedures, on medical needs that you need, especially when you are confined in the hospital. So the problem is there were people who were not yet covered by PhilHealth. So even the poorest of the poor. So the problem with that is that the poor people were not able to pay a decent because let's face it, hospitalization in the Philippines, whether in private or in public, were let's say very expensive for the common man. And when you go to the public hospitals, most of the public hospitals had lack of medical equipments. Save the Philippine General Hospital in Manila, and in specialized hospitals here in the Philippines, like the Philippine Heart Center, the Lung Center of the Philippines, etc. They had complete equipments, but other public hospitals in other provinces, they are lacking equipments to be used for their patients. Okay, so that's very sad reality here in the Philippines. So okay, so Marrojas, being the administration vet, defended the Aquino administration by telling the people during the debates, oh, there is a PhilHealth was able to cover all the expenses of the poor. They were able to avail hospitalization and Medicare for free. And let me tell you, honestly, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Forgive me for my language, but it's pissed me off. Yeah. Okay, it makes me angry because of Rojas' claim. Okay, here's some facts. Okay, when you have PhilHealth, it's not necessarily that you are free. You can avail free healthcare. You can avail free hospitalization. That's bullshit. Okay, a lot of people, from my experience working under the government, especially dealing with the poor people, supposedly they should give to them for free, but unfortunately they were only discounted and they had to get from their pockets, which was not enough to buy their own food in order to buy medicine, in order to buy medications that should be covered by the people's taxes, by PhilHealth, by their contributions. However, it's sad but true, PhilHealth does not cover everything. So he claims he covers poor people were covered by PhilHealth, but it was easily rebutted by Mayor Duterte, telling Mar Rojas that, "Hey Mar, how you said that people are having PhilHealth can access for free. Why is it that none of my constituents in Davao City were not given a free access to hospitals, a free medication, a free hospitalization, even though they have PhilHealth?" But Mar Rojas insisted that he challenged Rodrigo Duterte that if he shows some data about that, he will withdraw the race. And Duterte said, "Come on. Come on." Okay, so fact check, PhilHealth is, even though you have PhilHealth and you are contributing to PhilHealth, the reality is you cannot avail it for free. You can only have discounts when you have PhilHealth. Okay. Another example, I just remember from my personal experience when my wife gave birth to our daughter, Cheska. And when I look at the list of expenses, the bills, even though my wife is covered with PhilHealth, with social security system for her maternity, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, this is the sad reality. Okay, we had to pay the remaining balance in the hospital, and it cost me so much, about, let's say, about 80,000 pesos. Okay, there is a less PhilHealth there is a less SSS there. The social security was also being discounted from there, and I had to pay from my pocket. I had to borrow from my relatives in order to pay the remaining 80,000 pesos.